added. I'm holding on Memchet Samad Aleph at the top. So we had yesterday two Mishnayos that describe you have three types of buildings as far as Avodah Zarah is concerned, and three types of stones. So now in a similar vein, Sholosh Asheves, there are three types of Asheves. Number one, Ilan Shanati Mitzchila L'Shem Avodah Sechavim, a tree that was to begin with planted for the sake of Avodah Zarah, intending to worship it, Harezu Asura, then it's Asur, unless the Goy is Mevatel it. And of course, as usual, if a Yid worshipped it, then as we'll learn in the next paragraph, you can never be Mevatel it. That's the general rule of a desire that a goy worship can be you can be mevatel, of a desire that a Jew worship. Not only a Jew can't be mevatel, but of a desire that a Jew worship can never become bottle.
And now, a desire that a Jew worship, although he didn't create it, he started worshiping.
Nevertheless, he started worshiping it. It can never become bottle. Right. So over here, though, we're talking about how that.
So where's the ego?
What do you mean? Where's the ego? Moshe ground it up. Bittul, meaning, in other words, to be able to have enough from the pieces or whatever that not. Once a Yid worships an Avodah Zarah, then that's it. The only thing you can do is destroy it. You can't have Hanah from the pieces. With an Avodah Zarah of a Goy, instead the Goy can be Mevatel, and then you can have Hanah from the pieces, or even from the whole thing, whatever. Okay. So, number one, Ilan Shanati Mitzchila L'Shem Avodah Sechavim, a tree that was planted to begin with for the sake of Avodah Zarah, Harezu Asura, so it's also unless the Goy is Mevatel. Number two, Gidoy Upisloy L'Shem Avodah Sechavim. Number two is, if a Goy, or Jew for that matter, if he did the following for Avodah Zarah, he intended not to worship the tree as a whole, but only the new growths that grow on it. So Gidoy, he cut off branches of it, or Pisloy, or he also, Gidoy and Pisloy are two different types of cutting off or otherwise. The difference actually is Gidoy would mean actually, so Rabbeinu Yonah, I think it is, says that Gidoy would mean like to cut off a piece of the trunk in order to worship. Pisloy would be cutting off a piece of the branches. Whatever it is, it means the point is, carved, not per se, actually. Carving in the tree is something else. And that, in fact, the Yerushalmi says that would make it completely off the banah. No, here what we're talking about is Gidoy that he cut off, for example, part of the trunk, intending that when the trunk regrows, that part that regrows will be the Shem of Avodah Zarah, or Pisloy, he did the same thing with the branches. He carved off, he cut off pieces of them. Because one is Gidoy, Gidoy is for the trunk, Pisloy is for the branches. Or whatever, it's two different types of cutting that they would do in trees. Okay. So those things, Gidoy Pisloy L'Shem Avodah Sechavim, the Hechlif, and eventually the tree, sure enough, produced new growth, which he was worshipping. The din is Noto Masha Hechlif, so the tree as a whole does not become author. Whatever grew afterwards, that grew after it was declared for worship and has been worshipped, is Osabana. So you take that part, you take those parts, you cut them off and you burn it. And the rest is Mutabana.
Can we deduce that from the previous Mishnah where he said if he grafted branches that from Avodah Zarah?
We didn't talk about a previous Mishnah about grafting branches from Avodah Zarah. Where did we talk about such a thing?
We did. We said an orange tree. If you graft branches of an orange tree to a tree, but the tree didn't do anything with it, but the branches he did Avodah Zarah with it, then he has to cut them off, and the tree becomes mutar again.
Well, we didn't have that in a Mishnah. I mean, So that's what it is, basically. Well, now the Mishnah is telling us explicitly that whatever grew, L'Shem Avodah Zarah is also, and whatever else did not grow, L'Shem Avodah Zarah is Mutter. Again, we had the discussion the other day of Rabbi Yosi Bibi Hoda and the Chachamim, whether that's so, but we're going according to the Chachamim over here. Number three, Hemed Tachtei Avodah Sechavim V'Nafla. Number three would be if he just placed an Avodah Zarah under the tree, And then later on they took away the Avodah Zarah. Harez and Mutara. So now the tree is Mutabana again. Because the tree itself was never worshipped. So therefore the Avodah Zarah was under the tree. So now once the Avodah Zarah was removed, or some of the Rishonim have a girsa instead of a Nafla or Bitla, that even Mavasol, that the tree is not going to be a place for Avodah Zarah anymore, then it's Mutabana. So that's the third time. As long as the tree wasn't worshipped. Right. Okay, so the Gemara says, Amri Dvei Rav Yanai, they said in the Yeshiva of Rav Yanai, when we say in the Mishnah that in the second case, when you cut off branches or parts of the trunk or whatever, L'Shem Avodah Sechavim, when would it be also? This is only if you layered or grafted on the tree itself. Hivrich means it's in English it's called layering. We've talked about it before. It's where you take a branch of a tree and you bend it down and then put one end of it into the ground, and eventually it develops roots, and eventually it breaks off from the parent tree and becomes an independent tree and an independent tree of its own. It's a way of cloning the tree, basically. You have it genetically identical to the original tree. That's Hivrich. So in other words, if he did Hivrich and then new branches started growing from that Havracha, from that bent over branch, or Hirkev, where he grafted on a branch and new growth started growing from that branch, then those would be Osir. So one second. So you had an original tree, which was not planted for Avodah Zarah. You have a graft that was done on it for the sake of Avodah Zarah, or you have a layering that was done for the sake of creating a new tree that will eventually be worshipped as Avodah Zarah. That new branch, or that grafted branch, starts developing growth. That is what the Mishnah is saying, therefore, that those growths that grow would be the ones that are awesome.
Not the initial tree itself,
and not necessarily the original graft itself, because even the original graft or the original Havracha, it's a branch that already existed from another tree, or it's a branch that already existed from this tree. You can't say that it's planted new for the sake of Avodah Zarah.
If it was, then it's not so.
Right. So the question is, v'hanan gidoy pislatna, and that's not what we say in the Mishnah. We said that all you need, you don't need a big meister, all you need is a small kind of meister. For example, you cut off part of the tree, intending for it to regrow, and already that makes that the new growth so also. So how can you say that only if you did a big meister, like grafting or layering, or hivrich or hirkiv, only then are the growth from it. Gidoy means you cut off part of the tree, yeah.
Yeah,
well, pislah is another kind of cutting off. Yeah,
you chopped it off, but so you consider
in order that it should regrow. So again, you have, I think, Rabbeinu Yonah explains that what it is you cut off a piece intending to worship that piece, and then also that the tree should grow new pieces, that should grow new wood over there.
Okay.
But most of the other Rishonim don't learn it that way. But still, the point is that he cut the tree in such a way that he wants to promote the growth of it. He wants that new wood should grow in this area over here, and that will be something that he'll worship. So the Mishnah is only saying Gidoyo Pislay. All you need is that. You cut off branches or whatever from the tree, and that's enough once it starts regrowing that those new growths are going to be also. What are you telling me that only if Hebrew be here, Kiv? Ella, no. We have to reinterpret what Dvei Rav Yana said. Ki itma, Rav Yana in his bittul itma. This Rav Yana in his yeshiva said was not as far as what part of the tree becomes osur, but rather as far as how you can go about being mevatel. What requires bittul?
So we're not talking about hivrich v'hirkiv,
but in a different context. The af agav the hivrich v'hirkiv begufa shel ilon, just the opposite. What Yana is saying is, even though you did hivrich or you did hirkiv on the tree itself, so we're not just talking gidoy pislay, we're talking about that you attached something to the actual tree, or you bent down a branch from the actual tree. Nevertheless, even in that case, ki noto masha hechtav shaper domi, even then, you take, you remove and burn whatever grew after that. That will be enough. The whole tree will not become awesome. Now, what's the chiddush?
If you had the intent to regrow it for Avodah Zarah.
One second. The case of our Mishnah was that you cut off pieces intending for them to regrow for Avodah Zarah.
Right.
Rav Yana is saying something else. Even though you actually grafted a branch onto this tree, and now you would think maybe the whole tree is considered like it's there now.
Avodah Zarah.
Yeah. So now you would think, therefore, maybe the whole tree is considered as if it was planted for the sake of Avodah Zarah, now that you have one branch grafted on it for that purpose. Mm-hmm. Nevertheless, we don't say that. The Maud Tamer, you might have thought, given the Hivrich v'Hirkiv b'Guf Shel Ilon, once you did have Bracha and you did have Kava on the tree itself, you would think, Ke'ilon Shenotim et Chila Domi, maybe it should be considered like a tree that was planted v'Hatzchila for Avodah Zarah, v'Litza Kula, and therefore the whole thing should become Osir.
No.
Kamash Malam, that is the Chiddush. Even in that case, it's enough, a tree of our Mishnah that was originally planted, and then somebody cut off branches from it, intending for the branches to regrow, L'shem Avodah Zarah, and we said all you have to do is remove those new branches. The same thing over here. Even though you grafted an entire branch onto the tree, or you layered an entire branch from the tree to start creating a new tree, nevertheless, all you have to do is remove the new gedulim, and
even though the tree contributes to the new
branches, even though the tree, right,
is off-worshipped.
Right. Right.
So then,
but
so the tree is.
But that, no, because that's the thing. So that's the point. That's the point of it. That now only the parts that newly started growing are l'shem avodah zarah. Because the rest of it was already planted from before. It wasn't planted l'shem avodah zarah. We established before that the chachamim said that if it was planted l'chatchila not for avodah zarah, it doesn't become aser. Only if it was planted because there that's like the horim and the gvoris. So the same thing over here. The part of the tree that existed before is like the horim and the gvoris. It wasn't changed. It wasn't changed by the fact that it said it. No. So that's the point. It wasn't changed by the fact that it has avodah zarah growths attached to it, right? So that's Rabbi Yana's point. Okay. Almost Shmuel. So Shmuel says, here's another din. Hamashtachvel Ilon, if somebody bows down to a tree, which is already existing from before, and we established before that according to the Chachamim, the tree itself does not become aser, only according to the Yaisi the Behoda, whatever grows afterwards. Nevertheless, Tesafte Asura, whatever is added, whatever the tree grows further after that, is aser. So even it, on the face of it, so we have to figure out who Shmuel is saying that. Like, on the face of it, it sounds like that's only according to the Yaisi the Behoda. It sounds like the Chachamim wouldn't agree with that. That's what we have to figure out. But so Shmuel says. So Shmuel says that if a person bows to a tree, even the shame of a desara, then whatever grows afterwards is also masiv rabbalaza. So rabbalaza asks.
Let me ask you a question. Yeah. A bit not so much connected, but can you daven when you daven in, let's say, in the country? Can you daven facing a tree or not?
Yeah, I mean, you're not worshipping the tree.
Not worshipping the tree.
No. I mean, there is a different matter that when you're davening Shemini Esrei, you're really supposed to stand within walls. You're not really supposed to daven out in the open unless you have no choice.
You're not supposed to daven in the open?
No. There's an interesting thing, actually. There's an interesting thing. In the Friedrich Rebbe's description of his arrest in 1927, the famous Rishimeth HaMaiser, eventually he digresses from discussing the Maiser to discussing reminiscences of his from when he was young. He mentions that at one point when he was 5, 6 years old, they were traveling to Yalta, I think, or something, in the Crimea, because the Rebbe Rashab's health was bad or whatever. They passed by these big rocks by the side of the road that are like hollowed out, that have a big hollow in the middle of the rock. And the Rebbe Rashab explained to him that this Hashem created such things as a natural thing in the world in order that this way, if a yid has to daven, and you're not supposed to just daven on the outside, this way you can go inside one of these big rocks. It's sort of like a natural cave, but it's not totally attached to the ground. But yeah, that was.
So what do you do? I mean,
if you have no choice, then you have no choice.
You don't find a shul.
Then okay, then you stand by the side and daven. But it's not preferable to do. It's preferable to daven with the walls.
Inside.
Okay. Okay. Anyway, let's get back to it. Okay. So this is what Shmuel is saying. That if a person bows down to a tree, whatever starts growing from that tree afterwards is going to be also b'hanam. Most of Rabbi Elazar, so Rabbi Elazar asked on that. What about our Mishnah said? Our Mishnah said that if you cut branches, or you cut from the trunk of the tree for Avodah Zarah, the Hechlif, and later on it grew, no Tamasha Hechlif, only then do you have to remove the new growths, and they're also Bana, implying Gidoy Pislay Ain, like Gidoy Pislay Light, implying only if you actually cut branches or cut from the trunk for that purpose. But if Stam, a person goes and worships a tree, and later on it grows, it sounds like our Mishnah is implying that wouldn't those new
That's
growths.
What saying,
no, Shmuel, no. Shmuel is talking about you didn't do anything to the tree. All the person did is he went and started worshiping the tree. Shmuel is saying, automatically, now, if we come back a few weeks later and we find new branches have grown on it, they're going to be awesome. The Mishnah seems to be implying, no, only if he actually cut off branches intending to promote growth of new ones that he'll worship, only then do they become awesome.
Right.
If not, then not.
Right.
Okay, Tosfos discusses the point, actually. Now, we had in the previous Gemara on Mem Zayin Amud Beis, we made the Rav discuss the distinction over there. You can have a case where you can have a case where a house was built for the sake of Avodah Zarah, even if it wasn't worshipped, and vice versa, where it was worshipped even though it wasn't built for that. Why can't we say that Shmuel makes the same distinction over here? If you bow to a tree, automatically the growths become aser, even if you didn't cut off branches
nothing
previously.
Grew up
to the house. No, one second. But the point is over there, the same way as we said over there, that if Rav had said that a person bows down to a house, automatically the house becomes aser. And on the other hand, if you built a house for Avodah Zarah, the Mishnah had said that it's automatically aser even before it was worshipped, at least according to the opinions that as soon as a person creates an Avodah Zarah, then it becomes aser b'ana. Well then, in that case, why don't we make the same distinction over here? We should say that as soon as the person worships the tree, from then on, any new growths become osur.
You didn't build a tree. You built a house.
One second. But we could argue, the Gemara could have made the distinction over here. If you bow down to the tree, immediately any further growths are going to become osur, same as the house. And vice versa, if you start carving the tree, cutting off branches or whatever, intending for Avodah Zarah, even if you didn't actually use it for Avodah Zarah yet, then already you created an Avodah Zarah there. It should be awesome.
Why don't we take the example of the house? Because Dafka the house was...
No, so Rabbi, because Rabbi mentioned a house. But so the
so
question...
Why did you mention that?
Because that was the context of the Mishnah. Anyway, the point is, Tosfot says the reason is, there is, after all, a difference, because with a tree, since it's attached to the ground, really anything that grows extra from the tree should be bottled. You should say, it's one thing a house that wasn't always attached to the ground, so therefore a house itself can become also just by worshipping it. But over here, to say that just by worshipping a tree, already the tesefes, already the extra should become bottle. Shmuel is saying that, but the Gemara is asking, on the face of it, it seems to contradict the Mishnah. The Mishnah is implying only if you did something that shows that it's not bottle, that shows that it's something really significant, only then should it be also.
Right. So how can he say?
So how can he say that in any case, how can he say that regardless, as even if, How can Shmuel be saying that regardless, even if you didn't cut anything off the tree,
if you uprooted the tree and replanted,
well then obviously right of course. Yeah. Also, by the Ramban gives another answer before we get to the answer of the Gemara. The Ramban says because each of these Mishnayos is supposed to be teaching us some kind of chiddush. Here you would think the chiddush over here of our Mishnah is even though, so what happens when you bichlal, if you cut off branches from a tree, even not l'shem avodah zarah, it has the effect of promoting growth on the tree. Therefore, you could argue, sort of like what you were saying a couple of minutes ago, that maybe that should make the whole tree osur, as the Gemara itself was talking about in connection with the grafting and the chiddush of our Mishnah, and the chiddush of our Mishnah would be that now.
It feeds the branches of a
zarah. As opposed to a house, right? Okay. Anyway, so back to the Gemara. So that's the point. Even though you did that, even though it promotes the growth, you're right. So now back to Shmuel then. If Shmuel is saying that no matter what, even if you didn't cut off anything from the tree, the growths are going to be osur, right. That seems to contradict the Mishnah. The answer is Amalach Shmuel Hamani Rabbanan. The answer is Shmuel will answer your Mishnah is going to the Rabbanan. Or Shmuel Amar Rabbi Yosi Bar Yehuda. Or Shmuel holds like Rabbi Yosi Bar Yehuda. The Amar, which he says, Ilum Shenatzel V'Slayf Avdei Osur. He said, as we said the other day, that if you planted a tree and afterwards worshipped it, it becomes osur. Fine. Shmuel is entitled to hold like Rabbi Yosi Bar Yehuda. He's an Amora, and Amora can't argue with Tanoim, but he's entitled to pick an opinion among Tanoim and follow it. So fine. However, Maskifor Rav Ashi. However, Rav Ashi says, I question the whole premise of the challenge against Shmuel. You're telling me that Shmuel's din cannot possibly work according to the Chacham. It can only work according to Rabbi Yosef Yehuda. Rav Ashi says, I challenge that. Maybe we can make it work according to the Rabban. Maybe you're misunderstanding the machloikas of Rabbi Yosef Yehuda and the Rabban. Mimai did Rabbi Yosef Yehuda and Rabban and Betosfus Pligi. Who says that the argument between Rabbi Yosi and Tosefes, meaning the addition, Mimaidir Rabbi Yosi by Yehuda and Rabbanon Tosefes Pligi. Who says Rabbi Yosi by Yehuda and the Rabbanon are arguing about the Tosefes, about what grows afterwards? All this time we were assuming that that's the case. That the Chachamim would say once it was planted Shaloi L'Shem Avodah Zarah, then we would say even afterwards it was worshipped, the Tosefes does not become altar again unless you did an actual Ma'aser to the tree, like we said in our Mishnah. And Rabbi Yosi by Yehuda would disagree and say as soon as the tree is worshipped, it becomes altar. Growth, the extra growth, maybe that's not the machlokes. Dilma Tosfos L'Divrei Hakol Osur, maybe the addition, whatever grows extra on the tree from now on after its worship, would be also even according to the Chachamim, and therefore Shmuel Din might work even according to the Chachamim. Or the Ikre Tligi, the machlokes of Rabbi Yosef, Yehuda, and the Chachamim would be about the original tree, the part that exists
to contradict what we said in the previous.
Well, that's what we have to figure out. Why is that? How can we say that? Rabbi Yosef Bar Yehuda Savar Ikre Nami Osur. Well, keep in mind, we explained before Rabbi Yosef Bar Yehuda to be distinguishing between the original tree that existed before it was worshipped and the Tesefes. But how did we do that? We quoted a few days ago on Memhei, we quoted a braisa, where we quoted a braisa and said, by Rabbi Yossi Ben Yehuda, who said that he learns from the pasuk v'ashereihem tisrichun v'esh, that you should burn their asherahs in fire. We said that he learns that there's two different parts of the asherah. We ended up saying in the Gemara that actually what it is a two psukim, one that says you have to burn an asherah, the other says you only have to chop it down. We understood Rabbi Yossi Ben Yehuda to be saying that it means that some kinds of asherahs you have to destroy completely, the kind that were planted originally for Avodah Zarah. Some of them you only have to chop down, namely the kind that were planted for a different purpose and afterwards worshipped for Avodah Zarah, where all you have to chop down all you have to burn, chop down and burn is the parts that grew afterwards. We understood it that way. Rabbi Yossi Ben Yehuda didn't say that in so many words. So how do you know? Rav Ashi says
that the Rabbanan would not think that.
We understood the Rabbanan to be saying that none of it becomes osir unless it was planted in b'shem Avodah Zarah. That would mean that Shmuel can only work according to Rav Yossi Ben Yehuda.
Right.
So Rav Ashi is saying, who says you understood the machlokas correctly? Dilma Tosfos the Divrei Hakel osir, maybe the additional growth everybody would agree are osir, even the Rabbanan would hold that, and therefore Shmuel can work according to the Rabbanan. Over Ikrei Pligi and the Machlokas between Rabbi Yosef Yehuda and the Chachamim is about the original tree itself. Namely, did Rabbi Yosef Yehuda sover Ikrei Nami osir? Rabbi Yosef Yehuda would hold the tree as a whole becomes osir once any part of it is worshipped, even in other words, only once the tree is worshipped. And it started growing new branches. Rabbi Yossi Ben Yehuda would be saying everything is osir, and we would say that because the pasuk says the asherahs you should burn in fire, implying the whole asherah. The Rabbanan Savri, whereas the Rabbanan would hold Iker Ilan Shari, the original tree that existed before it started being worshipped would be mutter.
What's the difference between this version and the previous version? Well, it seems to
No. The first version was, and the way we shelled it the other day, is that everybody would agree the original. Again, we're talking a tree that was not planted l'shem avodah zarah. If it's planted l'shem avodah zarah, that's a different matter. Let's not talk about it. A tree that was planted not l'shem avodah zarah.
Right.
Before on Memhei, when we first discussed this, we established
that. I understand that the machlokes is between the Rabbanan.
We know that the machlokes is between Rabbi Yosef Ben Yehuda and the Rabbanan. But your understanding, the initial understanding of the Gemara here is the same as the understanding on Memhei Amud Beis, which is that the Chachamim would hold that the entire tree is mutter, even the parts that grew afterwards. And Rabbi Yossi Ben Yehuda would hold the original tree is mutter and only the growth afterwards are osir, which therefore Shmuel Din could only work according to Rabbi Yossi Ben Yehuda. Rav Ashi says, who says that's the correct understanding of the machlokes? Maybe Rabbi Yossi Ben Yehuda would hold the entire tree is osir. The Rabbanan would say the original tree is mutter and only the growth are osir, and therefore Shmuel would be a friend of the Rabbanan.
The entire tree is mutter.
Right.
Okay, that's the difference.
Yeah. So the Rabbanan Savri Iker Ilan Shari, the Rabbanan would hold the original tree is Mutter, because you have a different pasuk that says you should chop down the Asherahs, implying Ezeu Ilan should be Duoi Osir V'Iker Shari. Where do we find a tree where only the chopped down parts are going to be Osir, but the original, the trunk of the tree remains Mutter? Heavy, I mean, Ilan should not be able to say, that would have to be a tree that was originally planted for some other purpose and then afterwards worshipped, because it was planted, therefore it was planted, the Shem of Rezada. Of course, the Chacham would agree the whole thing is Osir.
Right.
So Rav Ashi is saying maybe you should understand their machlokes that way, right? And if you do that, then Shmuel does not have to be going. Then Shmuel does not have to be going only according to Rabbi Yosef Ben Yehuda. He could be going according to the Chachamim as well.
So how can you prove that?
Well, that's what we have to figure out. V'chi tema. So you might answer. The fact of the matter is that the fact of the matter is we didn't answer it that way in the previous sugya. And why not? Epoch Rabbanan l'Rabbi Yosef Ben Yehuda v'Rabbi Yosef Ben Yehuda l'Rabbanan. Maybe what we should be doing is flipping around the answers of Rabbi Yosef Ben Yehuda and the Chachamim. Maybe in other words, we should say that after all, again, remember Rabbi Yosef Ben Yehuda in that Gemara over there on Memhei Amud Beis, he never said in so many words that we learn from the combination of the two psukim. He just mentioned the pasuk and the brayis of Asherahem Tisrichun V'esh. We in the Gemara had to add to that obviously he must be learning from the combination of psukim and therefore saying there's one part of the tree that's osir and one part of the tree that's mutter. Maybe what you should do is we can argue. Maybe Rabbi Yossi would say that Vashereim Tisrichun V'esh means all kinds, that whether it was planted originally or whether it was planted l'shem of a desara. He would learn both of that from Vashereihem Tisrichun V'esh, Asherehem being in the plural, for both kinds. The Rabbanon would be the ones who learn from the word.
Everything according to Rabbi Yosef
would be Osir, right?
Would be Osir.
Right.
And the Rabbanon.
The Rabbanon would be saying the Rabbanon would be saying that we learn from Vashereim to Gadeon. That is one. There's one kind that's mutter, and when there's one part that's mutter and one part that's Osir.
But here it says only to.
No, so the point is, in other words, before in that previous Gemara, we didn't try to understand it that way. But maybe we should. After all, we don't have Rabbi Yossi explicitly saying Rabbi Yossi is saying that he makes it that he's machmir on a certain kind of tree, which the Chachamim are not. But he doesn't make it clear that the whole tree becomes also the Ikker and the Tosfos. That we should have to force us to have to say the Chachamim hold that the Ikker is Mutter, the Tosfos is Osir. We could understand it the other way around. We could understand that according to Rabbi Yossi, the growth is also Osir. He doesn't have to learn it from the combination of the two Pesukim. He would learn it only from Vashereim Tzitzchon Ve'esh. The Rabbanon would be holding from Tegadeon that there's something that is mutter, they would be saying the whole thing. Yeah. According to if we could argue like that.
Yeah.
No, sorry. One second. I'm a little confused over here. Also, in fairness, I didn't have as much time today to prepare as I usually do. So I'm winging it a little bit over here. Okay. So we argued in the previous Gemara, Rabbi Yossi had said, how do I know that there's a difference between a tree that was originally planted for Avodah Zarah versus one that was planted and afterwards worshipped? I learned that, we said in the previous Gemara, he learns it from the fact that one pasuk says Tisrafun and one pasuk says Tegadeon. One pasuk says you burn them, implying the whole thing. One says Tegadeon, that you cut off parts of it and the rest is mutter. Once we understand it that way, that means Rabbi Yossi Bibi Hodeh is saying there's parts of the tree that are mutter. But maybe not. Maybe Rabbi Yossi rather is saying that I agree that maybe both Rabbi Yossi and the Chachamim are saying that the growths are osir. Even the Chachamim would agree to that. Rabbi Yossi would say that the whole thing, the original and the growths are osir. Tisrafun means you burn the entire thing. The Rabbanon would say, based on Tegadeon, we're going to say that the original tree is mutter and only the growth is osir. If Shmuel is saying over here the growth is osir, that could be according to this new understanding of the Rabbanon. Why are you understanding that Rabbi Yossi Bibi Yehuda is the one?
He's saying Rabbi Yossi is saying it would be going according to both the Rabbanon and Rabbi Yossi. And that doesn't
right.
to fit.
No, because again, Shmuel is saying is that whatever grew afterwards is osir. Shmuel is not even already addressing what's happening with the tree as a whole. So the growth itself, we could argue, before we argued, even Rabbi Yosef of Yehuda wants to be makel on the growth. He's only machmer on, we said before in the previous Gemara that Rabbi Yosef of Yehuda said the growth, so also the actual tree is mutter. The Chachamim said both of them are mutter. And we said that.
As you said before, that. Rabbi Yossi said both are sir, and the
no, that's what we wanted. That's what Rav Ashi wants to argue over here.
Yeah.
That's what Rav Ashi wants to argue over here. Before in the Gemara before, we said that Rabbi Yossi Bibi Yehuda says that we put in his mouth the words that when it says Vashereim Tegadeon, that you have a certain kind of Asherah, which you only have to chop, you don't have to destroy completely, that must be Ilim Shenotel L'Faif Avdoi, that you planted it and then worship it, where only the Tesefes, only the addition, is Mutter.
Okay.
Maybe not. Rabbi Yossi Bibi Yehuda never explicitly said that mentioned that topic. Maybe, and the Chacham said everything is Mutter, we said. Maybe not. Maybe we should understand that Rabbi Yossi Bibi Yehuda would say everything is Osir. Tisrafun, period. You have to burn them all. And therefore, the Chachamim, now over here also, Rabbi Yossi Bibi Yehuda would be saying all of them are osir. The Chachamim would be saying we agree the growth of osir. That's Tegadeon. The trunk of the tree.
The Chachamim here are saying what Rabbi Yossi was saying.
What we attributed to Rabbi Yossi Bibi Yehuda over there, right? So in that case, then what Shmuel is saying could work according to the Chachamim.
Right.
Okay. The problem with doing that, the Gemara says, in king, gidur yapisla, man katani law. If you're going to understand the machloikas that way, if you're going to say that everybody agrees that whatever grows afterwards from the tree is also, what are you going to do with our Mishnah about the case we chopped off branches from the tree, intending gidur yapisla, we chopped off branches or chopped off parts of the trunk, intending for it to regrow, and only then the Mishnah implied it's also. Who is that going to be like? Man katani law, loy rabbanon, loy rabbi Yosi b'Yehuda. That wouldn't work if you have this new understanding of the rabbanon and of Rabbi Yosi b'Yehuda, where everybody agrees that the tesefes is also no matter what, and machlokas is about the iker. Then why would our Mishnah have to mention the case where you chopped off parts of the branches and only then do the new growths become also? If you understand it that way, our Mishnah doesn't follow anybody. If you're going to say it's a coincidence of Rabbanan, you don't even need Gidur Yepisle. Automatically, according to this new understanding, all the new growths are going to be also once the tree was worshipped. If you're going to go according to Rabbi Yosef of Yehuda, never mind the growths, the entire tree is also. And we said in the Mishnah, we distinguish between Harezu Asura, the first case, where it was planted L'shem of Adizara, and the second one where only the growths are also. So our Mishnah wouldn't work. So our Mishnah wouldn't work according to either one.
So,
the answer is no. We don't have to. We could say, we could still make it work. No, you could actually make our Mishnah work according to either one of them, according to this new understanding of the Rabbanan and Rabbi Yosi b'Yehuda. This new understanding that Rabbi Yosi b'Yehuda, even in a case of a tree that was previously planted and now worshipped, that he says the whole thing is also, you can still make our Mishnah work according to him, and a new understanding of the Rabbanan, which is, Shmuel, the only reason we brought it up is because of Shmuel's din. This is actually Rav Ashi's understanding, right. Our new understanding, Rav Ashi's new understanding of the Rabbanan, that the Rabbanan would say the Iker is Mutter, only the Tosfos is also, that can also be made to work with our Mishnah. Now, how is that? You could say that our Mishnah works according to Rabbi Yosi of Yehuda because when is Rabbi Yosi of Yehuda saying that if you don't chop off branches from the tree intending for them to regrow the shame of Adazara, when is he saying that the entire tree is also only b'stama, only if you didn't specify anything? So a person started worshipping a tree which was already existing, Rabbi Yosi b'Rabbi Yehuda will hold the whole tree as also. But you could argue, Avol Gidur Yepisle, but if you chop off branches or parts of the trunk, Adarabba, you could say Goli Adaike, by doing that, the Ovid Avodah Zarah is demonstrating that his das is Debetosvis Nichalei, the Ikki Ulin Lai Nichalei, that he only cares about the new growth. He doesn't care about the tree itself. Otherwise, he wouldn't have chopped off branches or pieces of it.
Okay?
So Rabbi Yosi b'Rabbi Yehuda, in other words, might argue like this. A tree that was planted in L'shem Avodah Zarah for sure is outright also. That's the first category of our mission. A tree that was not planted in L'shem Avodah Zarah and was worshipped, Mestam, we assume he has in mind to worship the entire tree. Again, the whole tree is going to be also. What about that? It's like the mountains and the hills. It's not like the mountains and the hills because it's Tisha Yidei Adam because the tree was planted by human hands at some point.
But if he
cuts the branches, then Rabbi Yosi b'Yehuda might be Makel. He would say only that in that case, only the new branches are going to be also, because by doing that, he demonstrates that he doesn't care about the trunk. He doesn't care about the old branches at all. He doesn't consider them part of his Avodah Zarah. He only considers the new branches to be part of his Avodah Zarah. Very well. And then Rabbanan wouldn't be taking a position on that. But Rabbanan would be saying that Rabbanan would have If we say that all missionaries are coincident with Yosef of Yehuda, fine. The Chachamim might agree with that concept. They might disagree. They might say that a tree is not also anyway, as long as it wasn't planted, L'shem Avodah Zarah. Whatever, but according to this, we're not dealing yet with this.
Yeah, according to both.
No. Our Mishnah could work only according to one opinion. You have Mishnahs that are only according to one Tana.
Okay.
Yeah. So we could make our Mishnah work according to Yosef of Yehuda without it being a stira to what he said before, and without it being a stira to our new understanding of him. And Rabbanan, or you could make our Mishnah work according to the Rabbanan, according to our new understanding of the Rabbanan, which is one or the other, right? You could make it work according to our new understanding of the Rabbanan. Again, that they say the Iker is Mutter and the Tosfos is Aser, even if you didn't cut anything, because Gidur Yepisle is Tzrichalei Fakeh. The Rabbanan would say the Chiddush of our Mishnah is the case we're talking about where you cut branches or you cut part of the trunk. Because again, you might think, like we were saying before.
What does that mean?
In other words, the Rabbanan would say it doesn't matter whether you cut anything from the tree.
Okay.
Either way, the Tosfos is going to be Aser. However, the Mishnah had to tell us a Chiddush in the case where you cut off parts of the tree. Because again, remember, cutting off parts of the tree promotes growth. So again, like the slaughter we said before, you might think the whole...
The branches?
The new branches are still going to be off.
Only the branches are still off, sir.
Right.
And if you cut them...
Also, the new branches are all going to be the only
So it doesn't make any difference.
So it doesn't make any difference. But the reason why the Mishnah mentions cutting them is, Gidoya Pislei Tzrichalei, because the Mishnah had to tell us the Chiddush where you cut the branches or you cut the trunk. Because you otherwise you would think to say, given the Ovid like Maisa with Gufei, once you did a Maisa on the actual tree itself,
right,
where not just where you're worshipping the tree as it stands now, but where you actually started doing something to it, cutting off branches, if you're Ilanami with, so you would think maybe the entire tree should now become also, like we wanted to say before, like we were pointing before in connection with Rabbi Yannai, and like the Ramban pointed out before in connection with when we first brought up Shmuel Din. Hamashmalon, that is the chiddush of the Mishnah. Even though you did an actual maisa on the tree, cutting off branches,
the tree
nevertheless, and that promotes growth. So now you could argue the whole tree becomes is now contributing to the new growth. Nevertheless, that's the chiddush of the Mishnah. We still say that the rest of the tree is mutter, and only the new growth.
We needed this case about cutting these branches to make it clear,
because otherwise we would have thought the entire tree might be off.
The entire tree would be off without that. Okay.
So we can make our Mishnah work according to that. So according to that, it comes out. Now we have a new understanding of Rabbi Yosi ben Yehuda and the Rabban. Before we thought to say that Rabbi Yosi ben Yehuda says the trunk of the tree remains mutter, only the new growth after it was worshipped becomes mutter. The Rabbanon say the whole thing remains mutter. Now with this new understanding, we're not saying that way. We're saying Rabbi Yosi ben Yehuda says the entire thing is mutter. Only we're saying that he would be mako maybe if you cut off branches of the tree, because then it shows you don't care about the existing tree, only about the new branches.
And
the new understanding of the Rabbanon would be the ikar remains mutter no matter what, whether you cut branches or whether you cut branches or not. The new branches are going to be also
whether you cut them or not.
Whether you cut them or not, exactly.
Right. So which version is the one we choose?
So the version the version that we choose is So the version we choose is, I believe, I usually when we have two versions of something in the Gemara back to back, we usually choose the second one. In this case, yeah, but I'm not sure about that in this case, because the fact of the matter is that we have them, they're in two different sugyas, and sometimes you'll have, this is already, it's not back to back, and an ikadamri or lishna akhuna or whatever, it's two different sugyas, and sometimes, Tosus points out, sometimes you'll have like that, different sugyas that take opposite positions on an issue. I think that in this case, we actually follow the first one.
Why?
Because it might be because that one was more in its original context. Here we were just talking about in connection with this brief thing about cutting off branches. It wasn't the main thing. There was also we did that all in order to make things work according to Shmuel. The halacha doesn't necessarily have to be like Shmuel.
When Rashi gives an opinion, the halacha is like him usually.
A lot of times, but I don't think it's necessarily. And over here, even Ravashi is not saying it as a definitive statement. All it is we could make the Mishnah work according to that.
He comes and still gives another
opinion. That's fine, but nevertheless, he's not saying as a definitive thing, this is what the Mishnah means. He's saying here's a possibility. We're able to understand this Mishnah this way,
right,
according to Rabbi Yosi ben Yehuda or according to the Chachamim.
Right.
He's not necessarily stating as a fact. As opposed to the previous Gemara was saying more definitively what we understood Rabbi Yosi ben Yehuda and what we were understanding the Chachamim to be saying. So I believe the halacha actually ends up being according to that first one, but I don't know. I would have to look at that. Let's see if we can find it real quick. Okay, so what does it say in Shulchan Aruch? So a tree that was originally planted in order to be worshipped is also Bana. If it was planted without being worshipped and somebody went specifically and started cutting off branches, L'shem Elilim, or even if he grafted onto the tree itself or whatever, all you have to do is cut off the new growth, so also Bana, the rest of the tree is Mutter. And if you put idol, in other words, basically all it is the in Shulchan Aruch, it's just quoting our Mishnah more or less word for word. So in other words,
but
all it's saying in Shulchan Aruch is if you cut off branches, then the new branches are going to be also implying that we're accepting the first version of the Gemara the other way from Mem Hei rather than our Gemara over here where we'd be saying the Chachamim would say the branches are also either way. All right, so the Mishnah continues. Ezer Asherah, what is the definition of an Asherah? Now, like I was going to ask, what do you mean, what's the definition of an Asherah? We just had the previous Mishnah, just said three Asherah. But we'll get that. What is an Asherah? Kol sheyesh tachteh avodas lechavim. Any tree that has avodah zarah underneath it. So not necessarily they worship itself, but they have avodah zarah underneath it. that kind of tree, we're saying, is an asherah that has to be destroyed.
So it has to have an avodah zarah underneath.
Well, if not, then what is it? Then
it could be also an asherah. It's worshipped.
No, one second. According to Chachamim, the fact that it has avodah zarah under it is enough to make it an asherah and make it also.
And the worshipping of it is not.
Wait. No, obviously, then that's not a chiddush. Rav Shimon omer kol she'ovdinu. So Rav Shimon says, no, an asherah, by definition, is only if they worship the tree itself. If they worship an avodah zarah under the tree will remain mutar b'hanah, again, once the avodah zarah is removed, as we said before.
Kol she'ovdinu
osa. Right, exactly. So Rav Shimon is arguing. Osa means the tree itself.
The tree.
Or ma'isa b'tzidon. It happened once in Tzidon, in the city of Tzidon, on the coast of Eretz Yisrael. Nowadays.
Feminine?
Elon is
Asherah is feminine.
Asherah is feminine. Elon is masculine, probably. Yeah. Okay. Well, Maisa B'tzidon, Elon shows Ovdinoi. So it happened once in Tzidon, the city of Tzidon, nowadays it's in Lebanon, that there was a tree that people, that Goyim used to worship. Umosu Tachtav Gal. And at one point, Jews discovered, I guess, that there's a pile of stones underneath it. So now the question became, are they worshipping the actual tree, or are they worshipping the pile of stones, or maybe what's inside the pile of stones? Apparently, it wasn't a situation where they knew that these people are worshipping Merkulis, which is the classic thing, as we'll learn in the next paragraph, which is depicted as a pile of stones. So therefore, the question became, what are they worshipping?
No.
A gal could be Merkulis in this case. Apparently, it's not necessarily. In this case, apparently they knew that the goyim who are worshipping it are not worshipping it as Merkulis. So the question is, what are they worshipping? Are they worshipping the tree itself, or is there something inside that pile of stones? It makes a difference. Amalahan of Shivan bidku with a gal there. So Rav Shivan tells them, check into this pile of stones. What's inside it? Ubudku. They checked into it. Umatsu, they examined it. Umatsu by Surah. And they found an image hidden inside the pile of stones. Amalahan, Rav Shimon says to them, Hoyol Surah Heinovdin, well, now that we see that they're only worshipping the image, now we understand they were never worshipping the tree in the first place, therefore, Natulahan Ilam, therefore, we should declare that the tree itself is Mutabahana. So that's Rav Shimon being consistent with his opinion earlier in the Mishnah, that it's not an Asherah unless the tree itself is actually worshipped. Right. The Gemara says, what do you mean, Ezu Asherah? V'hanan Sholosh Asherah Snan, the previous Mishnah said there's three types of Asherah, where it was planted for that purpose. Well, but that's the question.
About Asherah.
Yeah, but that's when we say, what is an Asherah? We know an Asherah is a tree that was planted in L'Shem Avodas Kavim, or the growth of the tree, that afterwards worshipped L'Shem Avodas Kavim, etc. Now, the answer is, Hachakama. Bahanan Sholosh Asherah Snam. We said in the Mishnah there are three Asherahs. The answer is Hachakama. What our Mishnah means is, of those three types that we talked about in the previous Mishnah, Shtayim L'Divrei Hakol, the first two are also according to everybody. Meaning, when we say everybody, we mean the Chachamim and Rav Shimon. First two, the one that was planted, L'shem Avodas Kochavim, and the one where branches were cut off and afterwards new branches grew, L'shem Avodas Kochavim. We said that's also a type of Asherah. And that, we said, everybody agrees that those new growths are also. Again, we said we can make our Mishnah work according to either the Chachamim or according to Rav Yosi ben Yehuda. So those two are L'divrei Hakol. Those two are according to everybody. The third one mentioned in the previous Mishnah, the kind where there's an avodah zarah underneath it. Right, the first two. The third kind is a machlokas of the Chachamim and Rav Shimon, and that's what our Mishnah is saying. The third kind is one of them is an avodah zarah underneath it. Where the previous Mishnah just said that it's also as long as the avodah zarah is there, once you move the avodah zarah, then it's water. So our Mishnah mentions that's actually not so simple. It's controversial.
What about if the avodah zarah cannot be removed? It's attached to a tree.
Well, then the tree itself is an avodah zarah, isn't it?
Right.
Yeah, I mean, but that's the same thing as gidur your pistol. Yeah, that would be the same thing as carving off branches and having new ones grow. Yeah. So therefore, our Mishnah continues. What is the type of Asherah that Rav Shimon and the Chachamim disagree on, whether it's considered an Asherah, kol sheyesh tachtei avodas kochavim, is the case where there's an avodah zarah underneath it. Rav Shimon omer kol she'ovdin ma'aseh, and Rav Shimon says that no, it's only osur if they actually worship the tree itself. And therefore, Rav Shimon continues in our Mishnah, therefore, that once we establish that they're only worshipping something under the tree, then the tree itself will be mutter. So in other words, when the previous mission says Shalosh Asherah, then that's only according to Chachamim. Rav Shimon would say there's only two types. Okay. Next. Okay, so now that we established that, now we have to ask the different question.
Anyone that is worshipped,
Tachtei Avodas Kochavim is also considered a type of Asherah. And Rav Shimon would disagree with that. Rav Shimon would say the tree itself is not an Asherah, even when there is an Avodah Zarah underneath it. All it is just the Avodah Zarah is also.
So
From the example that we see.
Right.
Fine. Now,
how come anything like that if it was only the picture that was worshipped?
Because they argue, nevertheless, as long as it was placed under that tree, then
that's enough to make
that. Well, so we started talking a few days ago about the psukim that talk about what the avodah zarah that has to be destroyed in Eretz Yisrael. We mentioned ha'horim aromim v'agvoyis stachas kolaytu anon, that you have to destroy all of the zarah that you find on the high mountains and on the lofty hills and under every green tree. So the Chacham, I'm going to say the fact that, and Rabbi Akiva mentioned over there, the green trees are meant as a landmark, that you should know wherever you find a green tree, you'll find a result underneath it. So the Chacham are taking the view. On the one hand, it means the Pasuk is being maful and saying the trees themselves don't necessarily have to be destroyed, depending whether they were planted L'shem of a desert or not, as we discussed before. On the other hand, though, it does mean there's something about that tree, that as long as the Avodah Zarah is there, then you have a problem. Okay. Fine. Next, we have to ask, Ezri Asher Stam. Fine. Now we have to ask an independent question. If you have a tree where you have no particular ray, you have no particular, we don't see people worshiping it or whatever, do we have any other way of establishing whether it is an asherah? In other words, you can have, for example, you could conceivably have a tree where maybe they only worship it once a year, only on one particular day. So if you don't happen to be there at that time, you're not going to know they're worshiping it as an asherah. How can you establish that it is an asherah to know that it is also? So Rav says, if you see priests of Avodah Zarah sitting under the tree, but they don't eat the fruit of it, that demonstrates that they worship that tree. Therefore, they're considering it a holy tree, and therefore they're not going to eat from the fruit of it. So the different gears that Rishonim have, not that Yerushman Tachter, but Mishamrim, that they watch it, that priests stand guard over the tree. Then we know that it's a tree that's an Asherah, that they worship. I guess, yeah.
Shmira.
Yeah. Or Shmuel, Amar. Shmuel says, I'll give you a different definition. Even if you don't see priests sitting underneath it or guarding it or whatever, Afilu Amri, even if we hear the Goyim saying, Hani Tamri Lebein Nitzrafi, we're reserving these dates, for example, if it's a date palm, we're reserving these dates to take that we're going to be eating them at Bein Nitzrafi. Bein Nitzrafi is the name of an Avodah Zarah, a name of an Avodah Zarah that they had in that time. That's also Osir. Why would it be Osir? The Rami Beis Shichra, because what are they going to do with these dates? They're going to use them, they're going to brew beer with it. The Shasi Lebiyem Edem, and they're going to make a specific thing. They're going to make a specific ritual of drinking that beer on their holiday. So if they do that, if they reserve the fruit of a certain tree, is reserved for that purpose, that they're going to use it for a beverage that is going to be drunk specifically on their chagah, then we know that tree is something special to them. Then we know that the tree itself is actually worshipped as an asherah, and therefore that's also.
Could you?
No, well, maybe that's why he says Hani Tamri, these dates. But whatever, the tree, no, it's sort of like you can sell a person a tree, you can sell dekel a peres there, because the dekel exists now. The same way over here, what they can do is they can dedicate the tree that every year, when it produces a crop of dates, they're going to take those dates and save them until the time of their chogah, and then they're going to brew beer, etc. So therefore, now we know the tree is also, even throughout the rest of the year.
Why can't you say that about not only a tree, but a wine, grape? Vine or
right,
like that.
Obviously, I mean, we're giving an example because in those times it was a common thing to drink beer at Goyish Chagas. Obviously, right, if it was a grapevine and they said this. If it was a grapevine and they said the same. Well, grapevine could be an Asherah too, why not?
It can.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be a tree.
Why not? I mean, we talked the other day in the Gemara, for example, about people worshipping growing vegetables or grain or whatever, yeah.
But in the definition of Asherah.
Okay, but the point is, an Asherah is just another type of Avodah Zarah, which we're saying is also bana and has to be destroyed unless they're mevatelet. So yeah, I suppose a grapevine would be
so
a thing.
So
yeah. Yeah. Okay. Omer HaMeimer. Omer will be sovereign to Pumbedisa, Hilchasek Shmuel. So HaMeimer says, the elder Tamer HaChacham Pumbedisa told me the halacha is like Shmuel, which by the way is a little unusual because usually in Dine Isser Behetu, usually the halacha is like Rav. But here, the halacha is like Shmuel, that you don't even need priests to be sitting underneath it and guarding it and whatever. Even if they have it reserved, they're going to use it to brew beer for their chagah, is enough to make it an asherah.
Rav doesn't give an opinion.
Rav said that only if you see priests sitting underneath it, not eating from it. According to Rav, it would sound like if they decided to reserve it for the Bein Nitzrafi, then that wouldn't be an asherah. But Shmuel says it wouldn't. The halacha is like Shmuel.
So
we're machmer. Okay. Mishnah continues. Speaking of an asherah, Lo Yeshiv Vitzila, you're not allowed to sit in the shade of the Asherah. Now, when we say in the shade over here, Rashi makes a point of saying, now, obviously, when we talk about sitting under the shade of a tree, we could be talking about sitting directly under the tree. That's not what we mean, because the Mishnah, because that's not what the Mishnah means. What it means is you can have, so you have a tree standing over here, you have the branches over
inside
here.
The tree.
What we're talking about, in other words, right, so you have at various times during the day, the shadow is going to, it's going to cast a long shadow. So you could be sitting, if it's a 10-foot high tree, for example, you could have times of day when the shadow is exactly 10 feet tall. The shadow is not, the whole 10 feet is not necessarily under the tree, though, because the foliage doesn't necessarily extend out that far. That's the point. You're not allowed to sit in that shade, even though it's not under the tree itself. V'im yoshav tohu, but if you did sit there, then you're tohu, you don't become tameh. The Mishnah is going to continue, that if you go under a tree of Avodah Zarah, you become tameh midrabanan, because Avodah Zarah is metameh midrabanan. So over here, though, if you sat in the shade, not under the tree itself, which is where the shade extends outward from under the tree, then you're not tameh.
So, question, can you put a sukkah within that shade outside the tree?
It's a good question.
No problem with the
tree. No. You're talking about as far as the general question of no.
Shade.
Never mind, shade. You're talking about a regular tree. No. If you have
a regular tree, put the sukkah
outside. No. There's definitely no problem with that. No. So your sukkah can't be directly under the tree.
That I know.
Right. But you can definitely have. I mean, think of it. Here in Crown Heights, everybody makes the sukkahs where at different times of day you have the shadows of the buildings fall on the sukkah.
No,
the building is not.
Asherah.
I don't know. It's a good question. I don't know. I mean, the shade of the Asherah may. Well, if you're not supposed to sit there, then I guess you're not supposed to build your sukkah there. But
you're sitting under the top.
I understand. But
under the
could
shade
be.
Directly.
All right, it's possible. I don't know. Good question. I don't know. V'im yoshav tohar, so if you did sit there, then you're tohar. On the other hand, v'lo yavar tachteh, but you're not allowed to pass directly under the tree, directly under the branches and foliage of the tree. V'im ovar tohar, and if you did pass through there, then you're tohar. No, hold on. That's why Rashi makes the point. The distinction is not between standing and sitting. The distinction is, are you walking directly under the branch? Here's the tree, and here's its branches. Are you standing or sitting directly under the branches? Or are you sitting over here where the shade falls on you, but it's not under the branches?
Outside the branches.
If you walk by there, or even if you sit there, to walk by there, the Mishnah does not mention, because of course you can walk by there. The Chiddush is, you shouldn't sit there, l'chatchila, but if you did, it's okay, and you don't become tameh. But if you sat or stood under the actual branches of the tree, before our Mishnah, we didn't know that about Avodah Zarah and Matanah Ba'al, and we're going to see in the Gemara, the Gemara is going to give a reason for it. On the other hand, what if the tree is stealing from the public in the sense that the branches are overhanging into Rishut HaRabim, so people need to pass by there in Rishut HaRabim, and they can't because of the tree, then and you walk underneath it, then tahor. Then you're tahor, you don't become tameh because the whole concept of tumas of a disorder is only dirabbanan, and in this case, dirabbanan on mekel. Because as we'll see in the Gemara, because you have no choice, you have to walk under the actual branches. So the only heter you have is if it's gezel or shusharabim, if it's hanging over shusharabim, then you're allowed to. No, that's the sophist tumma you're thinking of. This is a vada. Tosfos brings up an interesting point, by the way, which is the Gemara discusses in Psachim that even though you're not allowed to have, we know you're not allowed to have hanah from the hekdesh, such as the bismithesh. But nevertheless, you're allowed to sit in the shade of the hekhol, and it mentions over there in the Gemara that Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai, when he would give shiurim, he had thousands of people coming. There was no building in Yerushalayim big enough to hold all of them, so they would sit in the shade of the hekhol, and he would give his drasha
in
someplace on the Har Habayis, probably someplace on the Har Habayis, but whatever. It was close enough to the hekhol that the hekhol could cast shade on it. You're allowed to, because even though you're not allowed to have hanah from the hekhol, you're allowed to have hanah from its shade. So why over here are we saying you shouldn't be sitting under the shade of the Asherah? The Tosfos has two reasons. One is because the main hanah you get from the hekhol is being inside it. The shade of a building is only an incidental thing. The building is not constructed for shade. A building is constructed to go inside it. No, an Asherah is a tree. It's mainly meant for shade. Therefore, you have more reason
to grow fruits.
Fine, but it's also, you don't use the inside of it because it doesn't have an inside. The main thing is the shade, therefore. Also, Tosfos says, when it comes to Avodah Zarah, you need to be machmir. The practical difference that Rishonim point out, the practical difference between those two answers is, what about a building of Avodah Zarah? If there's a building, like we talked about the other day, a building that was built in order to be worshipped, for example, according to the first answer, you'd still be allowed to pass through under its shadow. You'd still be allowed to pass through its shadow because the building is made primarily to use the inside of it, to live inside it or to worship or whatever, as opposed to, according to the second answer, you still need to be machner because of it is other, as opposed to the ankle. Okay, so the Gemara asks, well, Yesha b'stila p'shita, isn't it obvious when the Mishnah is saying that you shouldn't sit in the shade of the tree, of the Asherah? Granted, you're not under the tree, but you're having hanah from Avodah Zarah. Of course, you're not allowed to have hanah from Avodah Zarah. The answer is, Amar Rav Abachana, Amar Rav Yechanan, L'nitzucha elu tseo kemosa. I skipped a few lines. L'nitzucha elu tseo p'sila. No, the chiddush of the Mishnah is, you have the shadow of the shadow. Which means, so Rashi understands it like this. Rashi understands that means. So one second. So first, let's talk with what Rashi says. You have a tree that's 10 feet tall, let's say. Now, so you're going to have times of the day when the shadow is 10 feet tall or less. You're going to have some times of the day when it's going to be really short, when the sun is high in the sky. When it's lower, eventually you're going to get to a point where the shadow is exactly the height of the tree. That's called tefillah. Seil tzila would be when the shadow is longer than that. Let's say there comes a point in the day when the shadow is 20 feet long. The point of the Mishnah would be, therefore, not that you shouldn't be sitting in the first 10 feet of the shadow. That's no chiddush. The chiddush is you shouldn't even be sitting in the next 10 feet of the shadow. That's seil tzila.
So even when it's bigger than the tree,
you still shouldn't be sitting anywhere in that shade. Different other Rishonim have different other understandings. Seil tzila, a different understanding of seil tzila means like you have the heavier shadow and you have the lighter shadow, the umbra and the penumbra. Yeah, so you have that. That's another explanation. Another explanation is you have the shadow of the trunk versus the shadow of the branches. Yeah, okay. Anyway. So the question is, so does that imply, if you're telling me the part where the Mishnah says you shouldn't sit in the shade, but if you sat there, you're Tahar, does that imply that the shade of the Mishnah, if you're saying the shade of the Mishnah, means the shade of the shade, let's say again, further out than 10 feet. So does that imply if you sat within 10 feet of the tree, you'd be Tahar? Because that seems to be what the Mishnah is saying. Don't sit from 10 feet to 20 feet away when the shadow is 20 feet long. And if you do, you're tahor, implying, but if you sat in the first 10 feet, you'd be tummy. The answer is loy. No, that's not what the Mishnah means. No, even if you sat in the first 10 feet of the shadow, you'd still be tahor. As long as you're not under the branches. No, the chiddush of the Mishnah is just, you shouldn't be sitting in the 11th or 12th or 13th foot. Either way, you're not going to be Tomei, even if you sat in the first 10 feet, as long as you're not under the branches. The chiddush is, if it hadn't been for that, you would think you're not allowed to sit in the first 10 feet, because that's the direct shade of the tree, but maybe the indirect shade you're allowed to, or again, the penumbra or whatever. Yeah, that's the chiddush.
Anything outside the branches, you're not Tomei.
Right. Ika de Masnila say, for some learn this, some of the Amoraim learned this discussion as referring not to the first part of the Mishnah about sitting in the shade, but rather the next part of the Mishnah about walking underneath it. That, according to the second version, the im yashav, oh no, about the part where if you sat there, you're tahor, the im yashav tahor, that if we said if you sat there in the shade, you're tahor, and on that, the question would be pshita, isn't that obvious? You're not under the tree, why would you think you become tahor?
So one second.
The first version of the discussion over here was that we were saying it's obvious that you shouldn't sit in the first 10 feet, and the chiddush is you shouldn't sit in the next 10 feet either. Now, according to the second version, it's the other way around. Obviously, if you sat there, you're tahor. As long as you're not under the branches, why would you think sitting under the shade of an Asherah makes you tummy? Well, and according to that, so now in the second version, yes, but the chiddush of the Mishnah is, even if you sit in the first 10 feet, so you're under the direct shade of the tree, but you're not under the actual branches, nevertheless, that's the chiddush of the Mishnah that you're still tahor. So does that imply that under the shade of the shade you're allowed to sit there even l'chilah? How could that be? Why should you be allowed to sit in the 11th or 12th or 13th foot either? The fact is you're having hanah from Avodah Zarah no matter what. The answer is like, no, that's not what the Mishnah means. According to the second version, the chiddush is that even if you stand on the first 10 feet of the shade, you'll still be tahor as long as you're not under the branches. Now, the actual halacha is the Rambam does not have the girsa of the last few words. The Rambam apparently does not have the girsa of the last few words in the Gemara over here. His girsa of the Gemara in Hagoras Hagoras says, ends with the words afilu l'hachilu yeshin. And therefore, the Rambam duly paskins that in the tzeil tzila, you are allowed to sit l'hachilu. So again, according to the Rambam's definition of tzeil tzila is different than Rashi's. It has nothing to do with it. So the Rambam's definition of Kfil Tula is not like Rashi's definition about how far away you are from the tree. Is it the primary shade? Is it the secondary shade or whatever? It's the heaviness of the shade, the umbra versus the penumbra, as they call it. So according to the Rambam, what it is the Mishnah is implying that l'chatchila you're allowed to sit in that penumbra, in that lesser shade,
but not in the heavier shade.
But if you did, nevertheless, as long as you're not under the branches, then you don't become tall. So according to him, that's the point, in other words. So again, the version of the Gemara we have here would seem to be implying that you shouldn't even be sitting in the penumbra, but that's not the Rambam's Girsa. The Rambam's Girsa is that it's okay to sit in there. And that's how the halacha is brought.
In the penumbra,
right.
Not in the...
Actually, no, so sorry, not the penumbra, rather. The Rambam definition of, there's a difference between, the Rambam distinguishes between the shade of the trunk versus the shade of the branches. So according to the Rambam, you're allowed to sit in the shade of the branches, you're just not allowed to sit in the shade of the trunk. Yeah. Okay. Then we said in the Mishnah, because the trunk is a significant shadow. It's the main thing. Yeah, you're actually getting real hana from it.
Right.
The shade of the branches, it's not really that much of hana, yeah. All right. Then we said, "V'lo yaver tachter v'im over tomei." Then we said, if you walked underneath such a tree, then directly under the branches, that is, then you should not do that. And if you did, you're tomei. So why you tomei? Why should you be tomei for walking under an asherah? My timer. He extra deleka to kreivus avedis kohavim, because it's impossible that there won't be under this tree, there won't be lying there something that was offered to the avedis zara. And as the Gemara is going to say, according to Rav Yehuda ben Beseira, something that was offered to avedis zara is metame ba'oil.
Is that Tumami
Drabanan? It's Madrabanan, yeah. Well, the Gemara is going to make a postic for it, but the postic actually says it as an asmachta. Mani, so who would that be like? Rabbi Hudim and Maseri. That idea that you would become Tomei because of the offerings to Avodah Zarah that are left under the tree, that is according to Rabbi Hudim and Maseri. The Tanya, as we learn in a bright, Rabbi Hudim and Maseri, I mean. Minayim to kreivus avodas kacham shem metame ba'oil. How do we know that offerings to avodas zara are metame ba'oil? They're metame like a dead body if you're under the same roof as them. For example, under a tree. Yeah, we know this. Shenema vayisamdul baal pa'ur vayirchul zivchamesim. As the pasuk says, they became attached to baal pa'ur, the Jewish people, and shittim over there. Right, some of the good means they became closely attached. Closely attached. We learned this on Hedrin, I think it was, something about it that we had. On the one hand, there's Va'asam Adveikim, Ba'ashem Alekeichem, and on the other hand, there's Va'itzomnu, Va'itzomid Yisrael of Al-Pa'ur. So, like, which one is a stronger connection and which one is a weaker connection? So, we think the Gemara talks about both possibilities. The Gemara brings over there both possibilities. That one is that Somad is a stronger connection than Davak, and therefore it's in criticism of the Jewish people that they were even more strongly attached to Pa'ur than Lahav Jol Tashem. And the other explanation is the other way around. That Pa'ur was a weaker attachment, and then our connection to Hashem was a much stronger one. Anyway, the point is, it says, "Vayitzamdul v'alpa'ur, vayyochul zivchei meisim," and they ate sacrifices to the dead. So by calling it to the sacrifices to the dead, we learn ma mes metame ba'oil, just as a mes is metame ba'oil, if you're under the same tree as it, for example, after kerevus avodah zarah, metame ba'oil, so also offerings to avodah zarah are also metame ba'oil. So therefore, so when our Mishnah says that if you sat or walked directly under this tree, you will become Tomei Mes, that you will become Tomei, that is only according to the Yosef, that is only according to the Yehuda ben Maseira. Now the halacha is not like him, because the halacha is like a chamim, the halacha is like a chamim, which is, we learned before, we had a machlokas in a previous Mishnah, to what extent is a vodizar matame, like a sheret, or like a nida, the halacha is like a sheret, and then to in certain ways like a nevela,
but
not like a mess. Yeah.
Is it literally amazing that they...
They ate sacrifices to Pa'ur. It says over there in Parshas Balak that the Bnos Moav and Bnos Midian called Jew, invited Jews to the sacrifices of their gods. And the Jewish people ate and they worshipped their gods. Yeah.
What should it be? They were more interested in the women. The Avodah Zarah was only a reason.
Fine. The fact of the matter is they became very attached to the Avodah Zarah. It was originally in order to, because the women were enticing them, but yes, they became very attached to it. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, the point is, this concept of Tumah that we're saying in our Mishnah is only according to Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira. The halacha is not like that, but nevertheless, the basic din that you shouldn't walk under there still exists. Because that would be...
So regarding Tumah, not, but you are right. No Tumah.
But that's right. Okay. Then we said in the Mishnah, and by the way, the... Now, so okay, well, so the Mishnah continues. How is the gazelle of Shoshet Avim? We said if the tree is stealing from the public, in other words, it's hanging over the Shoshet Avim, and therefore preventing, and therefore now people can't walk through because they're gonna be also to walk underneath it. But avatachter, and you pass underneath it, tahor. Then we said you tahor, you don't become tummy because the whole concept is only drabah. Actually, the Raivan gives a very interesting logical reason for it also. He says the whole concept is just saying you become tummy because it's a krevet avedes chavim. Well, if it's in the street. A, people are not likely to leave Sikravis underneath there because it'll get taken away. Or if it does, it'll just get trampled when animals and people walk by. Therefore, there's not really much reason to think that there's going to be anything to be metame you anyway. Anyway.
In order to be metame with the Sikravis, it has to be marking on the Sikravis. Have to be there at that time.
Right, but that's what we're saying. Yeah,
if you don't see it at that time.
Okay, but nevertheless, so we said before that nevertheless, we said EF, sure, it's impossible, but if it's in Rosh Hashanah, then the Raivit is saying it is possible because very likely they're not going to leave it there in the first place, or if they do, it'll get trampled. All right.
Think that it's not sharing Rosh Hashanah.
Yeah, but still, you wouldn't leave to create it underneath it. Okay. So we have a question. When our Mishnah says, if you pass underneath it, under the tree, when it's hanging over the Shoshet Avim, then you're Tahar, what does that mean? Ovar, is it B'dieved? If you pass under it, you're Tahar. But L'chatchila, you shouldn't be walking underneath it, even in a case like that. Or is it L'chatchila you're allowed to walk under it because it's hanging over the Shoshet Avim? So we have a machlokes. Rabbi Yitzchak ben Alazim Meshmeid Chizki Yama Ovar. Rabbi Yechon Yama Im Ovar. And it's not actually a machlokes because V'loy Pligi, they're not actually arguing. It depends. Is there another route that you could take? Which Tosfos points out, we're talking about a route that's the same distance, not any longer than the other way. Then you should do. Otherwise, it does. So in other words, so if you have an alternate route which would be equally as short, imagine, for example, so let's say, let's put it in modern terms. Let's put it in Crown Heights terms. You're standing by the corner of Brooklyn and Empire. You need to get to Kingston and Montgomery. You happen to have an Asherah hanging over. You happen to have an Asherah hanging over the sidewalk on Montgomery Street, and hanging over the entire street, hanging over the entire width of Montgomery. If you were to walk on Empire and then up Kingston, you're going the same amount of distance as you would walking up Brooklyn and Montgomery. Then you shouldn't be going underneath it. Then only be Yevet. If you walked underneath it, then you don't become Tomei Mess. The Rabbanon are not going to make you Tomei in that case. But if there's no equally short way, then you're allowed to go that way, and that's what Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Elazar is saying in the name of Chizkiya.
Well, I have good news for you. There is no Asherah on Montgomery Street.
That's good to know. Okay. Omelet of Sheshes Lashame. So Rav Sheshes one time tells his Mishores. Rav Sheshes was blind, so he had to have his attendant lead him everywhere. So he tells him, and it happened that in Rav Sheshes' neighborhood, there was an Asherah that was hanging over the street, like we're talking about. So he told his Mishores, he told his servant, he must it's Lahasim, when you take me on that road and we come to that place of the Asherah, I hit me. Make me, pull me along quickly, so we run through there as fast as possible. So the question is,
he was blind,
so therefore you have to have this guy leading him. Okay. So the question is, Heichidomi, what's the scenario? Why does Rav Sheshes have to tell him to hurry? Either like a dir chachrina, if there's no other way to go, that's equally as short, lomalei arhitni, why does he need to tell him to run? Mishra shari, we just established it's completely mutter in that case. The id ikka dir chachrina, and if there is another route, is it allowed if he tells him to hurry up? The fact is you're not allowed to walk under there to begin with.
Take the time and you go the other way.
No. The point of the question, how is there a scenario where he's allowed to go there, l'chatchila, but he wants to hurry up? Either he's allowed to go there, l'chatchila, and can go at whatever pace he wants, or he's only allowed to go there, b'dieved, and going faster doesn't help. So what's the case? The answer is, lo'olam d'leka d'irkachrina. The case, in fact, is there's no other way to go. However, Adam Choshev Shiny, but it's different. An important person, like Rav Sheshes, people are going to learn from him. People are going to learn from him, and they're going to think if he's doing it in a case like this, they're not necessarily going to realize that it's mutter in this case, because it's overhanging the street. They're going to think in other cases, even if it's not overhanging the street, there's no problem walking underneath it. Therefore, to demonstrate that to everybody, he says, help me go as fast as possible, so that way everybody will realize there is a problem over here, and when there's an alternative, then you shouldn't.
That's not satisfying. Still, everybody will see him rush underneath to think, oh, maybe he doesn't want us to see.
So as a matter of fact, actually, the Rambam writes so differently. The Rambam apparently had a different girsa in the Gemara over here. It's not a question of Adam Choshev or not. The Rambam says, even if there's no other way to go, the only way you should go is run. So therefore, that's the Rambam's understanding of our Gemara over here is that even that wiser Shesha is telling him to run, there was no other way to go. Nevertheless, though, still in that case, the din is you have to run, and therefore he's telling him to run. If there's no other way, that's how the Rambam was. Okay, it wasn't. Yeah. All right. Mishnah says, "Zurin tachter yirokas b'meisak shamim." You're allowed to plant vegetables under an asherah during the winter because during the winter the shade of the tree is bad for the vegetables. They need as much sunlight as possible, so it doesn't benefit from it. Avaloi b'meisak chama, but not during the summertime because then the shade is beneficial for them. No, you're planting Rosh Hashanah, obviously. No, obviously we're talking about, in other words, that an asherah, for example, hangs over your property. An asherah hangs over your property, let's say. So you're allowed to plant vegetables over there.
In the winter.
In the winter, but not in the summer. But as far as chazeres, as far as lettuce, that, you're not allowed to plant that in the summer or the winter because they always need shade. Even during the winter. So therefore planting it under there would still be benefiting from the asherah. Rav Yossi says, no, you're not allowed to plant vegetables there during the winter either. It's true the shade isn't helping them. But on the other hand, the problem is, he says, because the leaves fall from the tree onto the vegetables, and it becomes mulch, it becomes fertilizer, and therefore the vegetables end up benefiting from the tree. Okay, so the question is, the Gemara asks, Lememra, are you telling me that Rav Yossi Sava Zevas Agodim Osir? Are you telling me that Rav Yossi says when you have two factors that contribute to make something happen, like in this case, you have, there's on the one hand, there's the fertilizer. On the other hand, there's the ground that the plants are growing from. The ground itself is not Osir. So you have two factors that together are making one thing happen, namely...
Can you use grass from under an asherah to grow something?
Why not? If not, it doesn't become Osir.
Or earth?
The pastures, yeah. Why shouldn't you be?
Because it grew. I mean, it was. It's more fertilized by the fact that there's roots from the asherah.
Yeah, I don't know. Roots help fertilize it. But okay, I mean, you could argue maybe there's the leaves that fall on there. But again, I mean, the point is that the leaves themselves. I mean, it's a natural process that they fall. We talked about them the other day. Then Gemara, the possibility of maybe even their butts or whatever. So you could argue. I mean, yeah. Okay. Anyway, the point is then. So the Rav Yossi seems to be saying Zev is a Godim is Osir, that even though the actual earth that's contributing to the growth of these plants comes from two sources, one earth that was already there, which is Mutter, and the other tree, and the other mulch that comes from these trees, which is Osir, and then he says that makes it Osir, but Rabbanan Amri Zev is a Godim Mutter, whereas the Rabbanan would hold that's Mutter. The problem is that even though that as long as you have that one of the two things that's helping it grow in the same way, in other words, again, we're not talking about Tosfos points out. You can't say, for example, the sunlight is mutter and the fertilizer is osir. That's not called zev zegurim. Zev zegurim means two things that are contributing to exactly the same result. The ground and the mulch contribute to the same exact part of the growth of the plant. But it seems like Rav Yossi says such a thing is osir, that Rabbanan seems to be saying such a thing is mutter. So, okay, we'll continue tomorrow. We'll start over from the beginning of the Gemara tomorrow and discuss the problem with that it seems to contradict what Rav Yossi and the Rabbanan said in the previous mission.